You're listening to the Devi Hour Podcast, part of the RotoHeat.com family of podcasts.
Welcome back to the Devi Hour. I am your host with the most, Brad Menendez. I apologize for being a little absent here recently. We haven't posted a podcast and haven't recorded a show in some time. But don't forget, check out RotoHeat.com. I've been posting all sorts of articles. I've been diving into team profiles, player profiles. There's a lot going on in the world of Devi and the world of Devi fantasy. So RotoHeat.com is the place where you're going to want to go to find that. But I will be starting to kick out some of these shorter form podcasts that focus on a specific team or giving you a bit of a profile for your Devi leagues, things to keep an eye on as we move closer and closer to the sweet, sweet sound of football in the fall. So make sure you have liked, subscribed, and done all the things you need to do to keep up with me on YouTube, over here on whatever your podcast platform is, at RotoHeat.com. Wherever you get content, I am there to give you the Devi content, the sweet, sweet sounds for your eardrums, or the sweet, sweet words for your eyeballs. Today is a special one. We're going to talk about a team that's going through some changes. Things are going to look a little different with the Clemson Tigers, but it's exciting times. Now, obviously, we know they've had a bit of a stalwart at the quarterback position in Trevor Lawrence over the years. Well, the next man up is no slouch himself, DJ Uiagalelei, which I apologize if I ever mispronounce it. It's a fun one. This guy came in very highly touted. He was a top prospect when he came out. He is looked good in his minimal time there at Clemson. And we anticipate that as he leads this Clemson team, he's going to bring a lot of that quality that we saw in the short amount of time that we've seen him play. He's got a big, strong arm. It looks like he can make all the throws. It looks like he's got enough movability in the pocket to be able to get out and make some things happen if he needs to. I would say if you were comparing him to the guy that was there beforehand, he's probably got, at this point in his game, he's probably got better athletic profile, which is interesting because D-Law came out and just set the world on fire. Well, if they continue to run this offense like they've been doing, I think DJ can do all the things that were asked of the previous quarterback and more. The amazing thing is he's got some solid skill position players around him as well. So when you look at what's there, he's got a little bit left over from the prior quarterback in Justin Ross. He's got, you know, and as long as Justin Ross comes back healthy and everything's okay with that neck shoulder area, this guy, you know, was considered tops of his class when he was considered for the NFL draft. And if he can bounce back and have a productive 2021 campaign, there's no stopping Justin Ross from being in consideration for one of the top wide receivers in next year's NFL draft. On top of that, you've got Joe Nada, who's been a guy in Devi circles for a little while now that people have been excited about. You know, good size, good speed, good athletic profile. He's a guy that will continue to be in consideration as a high-quality Devi target. Then you got E.J. Williams, who is another guy that brings a strong profile. You know, 6'3", you know, right around the 200-pound mark. You get the Justin Ross-type vibes when you look at him. And he's a guy that can do all the things, you know, sophomore, so we still got a little bit of time there. Then you have Frank Ladson, who's another guy that has been in consideration for some time. You know, another big guy, 6'3", he's over 200 pounds, can do all the things, can make all the catches. You know, he can go up and get the ball. He high points it well. He came out of South Dade High School there in Miami, a guy that was really exciting when you watched him on film. But then you haven't seen much from him in 2020. You know, only had 18 catches, 281 yards, and 3 touchdowns in 10 games. So what happened there, you know, could have been a little bit of injuries, could have been a little bit of just not being on the same page, things like that. But then when you look at, 2019, very similar, you know, didn't get a lot of action. But when you saw him in high school, I mean, he's one of the top players in the nation coming out of high school. I mean, he looked every bit of the playmaker that they were hoping for when they recruited him and signed him. So it'll be interesting to see if he can bounce back in 2021, especially with the type of quarterback they have. Really should be able to showcase what he can do on the field as long as he's healthy. That being said, that can be a bit of a tall task because he has fought through injuries. When you go back to, you know, a guy like E.J. Williams, you know, he if he continues to grow and develop, he could easily take that mantle and not have, and then Frank Ladson's an afterthought. You know, he wasn't highly used in 2020, but what he did when he had the opportunity was he looked good. He got involved and had some career highs, you know, in the ACC championship game. You know, he played a big role against Notre Dame when he had, it was like a 30-plus yard touchdown catch. And I mean, just one-handed grabs. And, you know, Williams is a guy that looks like he should be able to show you what you want as a prototypical, you know, wide receiver one in the next level. But it'll be really interesting to see what this team does with all of these receivers, because, you know, you got to think of it. They've got three, four, five potential receivers. You know, you include Will Sweeney and Bo Collins and, you know, and Dakari Collins and Troy Stellato and Spectre and Aju Aju. You know, I mean, like, there's so many different weapons to go with the big names that are already there. Who knows how they're going to deploy these guys? You know, you anticipate that Nada, Williams, Ross are kind of the top three guys in this offense. And with the running backs they have, you know, Phil Maffa, freshman's coming in, looks like he could be a guy that really steps into the limelight. Lynn J. Dixon decided to stick around for another season to get his time in the sun because ETN was there, you know, and then they have Kobe Pace, Michael Dukes, you know, Darian Wrencher. I mean, they're, you know, their running back room has some talented young guys there. You know, obviously this will be Dixon's last season, but after that, you know, you got a couple guys that could go for another year or two before we see Phil Maffa, unless, you know, he jumps into the forefront and really gets an opportunity sooner rather than later, because he has a great size, speed profile. This is a kid that I think could easily jump into the spotlight, even with Lynn J. Dixon there now. You know, he's in, I think he was ranked in the top 200 on 247, but really the thing that stands out about him is the fact that he can be a power back. He could be an all-purpose back. I would love to see them utilize him out of the backfield and get some catches going for him. You know, Maffa's a guy that I think could be a bit of an X factor in this running back group. A guy to keep an eye on, you know, and when I talk about these players, when you look at this team as a whole and it comes to the Devy talent on this roster, the guys that you want to roster right now, DJ, Justin Ross, EJ Williams, Nada, Ladson, you know, those are guys that are most likely sitting on Devy rosters, guys that you should have no trouble rostering and then hearing their names called in the draft within the next, you know, 2-3 years at the most. Maffa is a guy I think that could get his name in that conversation. And Lynn J. Dixon, I think, is a guy that you just have to wait and see what happens. You know, the conversation's always been, well, if he was that great, you know, why did he not push ETN more? Well, ETN was extremely dynamic, drafted in the first round for a reason. That being said, Dixon could put himself in that conversation if he has a very strong 2021. And with a young quarterback, they may look to lean on the run to set up the pass. You never know. So you have to be careful there that you don't overdraft a guy like Dixon just because he's the starter there. So if you're doing any startup Devy drafts, or if your Devy draft hasn't happened yet, Dixon's a guy that you could roster if it's deep enough, but I'm not jumping all over. I want to take a wait and see. With as many talented running backs in college right now, plenty of other options if you're looking to add running back to your roster. Now, Ladson, Nada, Williams, DJ, you know, Ross, those guys I'm definitely rostering. Then at the tight end position, they've got, you know, some talented kids there. I mean, even freshman Jake Brenningstuhl, you know, is a guy that I would look at and keep an eye on and maybe even jot down on your watch list. But these are guys that I would want to watch in the fall. You know, Clemson hasn't exactly given us the stunning track record of using their tight ends in much more than blocking roles. You know, if you subscribe to like the PFFs of the world and things like that, I mean, their tight ends have never gotten great grades. They've never been heavily involved in other than, you know, a lot of blocking. You know, they've been involved in the blocking and they've gotten a little bit of love in the passing game, but it's not been enough for me to go, okay, you need to roster some of these tight ends. You know, you go to a team like Notre Dame, Michael Mayer, absolutely go after him. You know, there's plenty of other tight ends in the world you can target. Clemson, I would just tell you to steer clear because there's not a lot to see there. That being said, there is a lot to like beyond there of guys to keep an eye on. You know, the backup quarterback, Taysom Tyson Foe, his last name I'll butcher and I don't even want to do it. I respect the kid too much to do so. Is another kid that you definitely want to keep an eye on. Redshirt sophomore, 6'3". I think he's like 215, 220. He's got good size, good speed, good arm. He's a quarterback that you can keep an eye on as somebody who could potentially develop, you know, but he's gonna take a back seat short of injury or just needing to give DJ a break. But just another name to keep an eye on. That being said, on the defensive side, you know, they're typically at Clemson, you got to keep an eye on their secondary. They do a good job of developing those corners and safeties and making them ready for the next level. I think Spector and Skalski and Simpson at the linebacker room probably aren't really guys that you're going to get super excited about on the IDP side of Devy. And quite honestly, you know, in Devy, unless you're in deep leagues, Pinnacle and some of those where you're, you know, just have huge rosters of Devy players, you're probably not drafting IDP players unless they're the elite of the elite. You know, I've seen leagues where Thibodeau from Oregon rostered, you know, guys that project to be extremely high-end prospects. You know, Chase Young, when he came out, was rostered in the Devy leagues that I'm in, things like that. I mean, you really don't see a lot of, you know, mid to late first-round pick NFL prospect type players rostered in Devy leagues that I've seen. That being said, it doesn't hurt to, you know, if your team is strong on the offensive side, I'm not opposed to going, you know, I've put linebackers on my Devy roster. You know, I've had Parsons on Devy rosters before. With Clemson, the players that I would look at and consider for a roster spot, Brian Brees, the sophomore defensive end tackle, dude's extremely dynamic. He's strong. He's got a good burst. He's somebody that I was targeting in the Pinnacle League draft. If you haven't been on Twitter, at Pinnacle of Devy, you can see that league is extremely deep. And I targeted him early, Brian Breesy. He is a very, 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 very enticing prospect. 6'5", he's right around the 300-pound mark, but probably one of the most athletic linemen I've seen in some time. And I'm excited about him. I think the kid's got a bright future ahead. He's still got, obviously, a little bit of time there still in Clemson, but he's a guy that I think you can keep an eye on. And even I'd even consider rostering, depending on how deep your Devy rosters are. If you're looking for one of those guys that could project to be that high-end piece, that would be a guy I would target. Other than that, you know, their secondary's got some nice players, but nobody that I'm jumping all over to roster. Their safeties, you know, Xanders, I think, could be an interesting guy. But I'm not rostering at this point. You know, these are guys that I would want to keep an eye on for the fall. Their linebackers don't really wow me. Other than Jeremiah Trotter Jr., the freshman, you know, keep an eye on him in the fall, see if he can leapfrog over some of these guys and maybe even get some opportunity for playing time as the season goes on. That wouldn't surprise me in the least. That being said, these are all guys that you want to keep an eye on as you're watching games in the fall. You know, typically, y'all know me, I am not a paid NFL scout. So what I do is I record as many games on my YouTube TV DVR as humanly possible. And then I go throughout the week and I watch and I take notes. And I listen to a lot of the podcasts out here that are scouting related. You know, mad love to Move the Sticks. You know, Jeremiah and Bucky, they do a great job to breaking down players from a scout's perspective of guys that were in the league. You know, the Draft Network, I subscribe to their work because they do a great job as guys who are very closely connected and know a lot of that and focus on scouting. I listen to a lot of teams podcasts when they have their scouting department guys involved. You know, Detroit's One Pride podcast had Dave Sears on recently, who is the head of scouting for the Lions. And just kind of take tidbits and I try to add them to my skill set. You know, I am very passionate about football, very passionate about fantasy football and helping get ready and prep people for the next generation and the next time in fantasy football, the next season in fantasy. I'm already working on the 2022 NFL draft for rotoheat.com and rookiedraftguide.com. So you can begin to see lists of guys that I'm expecting to see come 2022 NFL draft. I've already started putting articles out on that. You know, I'm here to help you guys. Find me over on Twitter at RotoHeatBrad. I don't always tweet, but when I do, I try to make it something encouraging, positive, and helpful. With that being said, we're closing it out. I've given you all the names of guys to keep an eye on. guys that you want to roster in W leagues, guys that you want to see come the fall. There are plenty other names on this team of guys that may pop out and have potential. I'm not listing them right now. If they do begin to, as the season goes on, you know I will do write-ups on them and post them on the site. But thank you guys for 15 minutes of your time talking about the Clemson Tigers. They're an exciting squad, and I'm excited to see what Dabo does with these guys in the fall. We will talk to you again soon. Love you.
Thanks for listening to the Debbie Hour Podcast. Don't forget to check us out on rotoheat.com or on YouTube at rotoheat.